Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Sunday evening-ish, my time, early evening for those of you watching on the West Coast, by nobody. I am joined by absolutely nobody. It is just me here in this office, and I am joined, well, frankly, I'm joined by you guys. You guys are going to be running the back half of the show here, or most of the show, frankly. I just have some thoughts coming off of the Lakers' big weekend. They beat the Spurs. I was in the house for that one. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans. And I have some thoughts about both of those games and some of the participants in them. It was a great weekend there for the Lakers. It was an important weekend there for the Lakers. As they took down the two winnable games that you need to win in order to rack them up over the course of the season and stay in or ahead of that playoff chase. So we'll talk about that. And then it's Sunday, which means it's a mailbag episode. So I have a question from iTunes. I have some questions from the Discord. I have some questions from Twitter. I have some questions from Blue Sky, and then I'm obviously going to be getting questions from you here live in the lounge. Speaking of being here live in the lounge, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you happen to be watching right now. If you're watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge is where you can find the show there. And then if you guys are here in YouTube, please hit that like button that moves us a little further up in Al Gore's rhythm. So that will help there as well. But without any further ado, because this is going to be a loaded show, I'm going to dive on in. So over the weekend, the Lakers beat the San Antonio Spurs 120-115, and then the New Orleans Pelicans 104-99. The scores would indicate that neither game was particularly overwhelming, that neither win was particularly overwhelming, which, like, if you really want to nitpick there, like, you can say, hey, you kind of sort of need to overwhelm a team that has the record that the Spurs do. You kind of need to beat, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans a little bit more handily, given how many injuries, like, they're half of their rotation is out. So I could understand, like, if you want to be doom and gloom that, those games might point to some, you know, real concerns there. And I think there are some concerns here with the Lakers. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because every time I get, you know, a little too happy about the state of the Lakers, shit happens. So I'm going to, you know, for the sake of everybody listening and for the sake of the Lakers and for the sake of the Lakers fan base, I am going to kind of temper expectations here or temper the reaction to this big weekend a little bit, not too much though, because as I asked Anthony Davis on was it Friday night? It is important, I think, that they are undefeated since D'Angelo Russell went to the bench. I'm going to write about that for Clutch Points and some of what I've heard, regarding D'Angelo Russell coming off of the bench and the way that the Lakers have looked since. You will have that to kind of look at and look forward to. I just think overall, like, Dalton Knecht looks legit. Max Christie took a big step forward in kind of resetting his season over the weekend. Gabe Vincent even played well. That's great to see, too. Now, the Lakers did not have Rui over the weekend, and he has an ankle thing that's bothering him. Anthony Davis's eye doesn't seem to be getting any better. I was there with people who follow the Lakers around, and even people close to the Lakers were like, yeah, it's a little weird. His eye seems to be getting worse. His eye seems to look worse now than the night that he got dinged up on the first place. So we'll talk about all of that stuff here over the course of the show. But I do want to start with that game Friday night in San Antonio that I was in attendance for. So first off, want to thank the Spurs and the Lakers for accommodating me. Shouts to Clutch Points, my dude Tomer, of Clutch Points, did a lot of work to see that I was able to make the game. Had a lot of fun doing it. Missed doing that kind of stuff. And it was great to be able to be there in attendance for it. Shouts to Jovan, because I probably bugged him. I have never been to the Frostbank Arena there in San Antonio, let alone traversing the tunnels within Frostbank Arena. That whole thing is a maze down there. All of the turns and all that stuff and the hallways all look the same. So I got my steps in that day is what I'll say. But you know, Jovan was great. He let me kind of follow him around while I was just kind of looking for where to go. Again, the Lakers made a ton of room for me wherever I needed, you know, whatever I asked for or whatever. I didn't even ask for anything, but like in terms of like the setting for JJ's interviews, for the locker room interviews, like it was a good experience. And I think it was, I learned a lot, honestly, about the Lakers in all of that. So I actually want to start there as far as like what I learned being there for that game and like my brief look into the Lakers kind of behind the scenes, rather than, you know, just kind of relying on people who are close to those scenes. First and foremost, this team like does legitimately enjoy being around each other. Really got that sense. LeBron, Austin, and AD in particular have great chemistry that you can see on the court, but then you can, you know, it really carries over into the locker room and to their interactions, you know, thereof. One example is the term "ooter," which the beat reporters were all trying to figure out like when that started. I guess it was like a few weeks back when AD went nuts from 3-point range. And the term "ooter" is like reserved for the best shooter on the team. Obviously, AD has been on a tear by his expectations, but you know, relatively speaking, for AD from deep, Austin had a really funny comment after the game where he was like, "Yeah, we've been begging this dude to shoot, and it's about fucking time that he finally is." There's a great line there from Austin. And so AD was talking about his shooting after the game, and he was talking about how he's the best ooter on the team. But Austin was walking by when that happened, and he just kind of like laughed it off and was giving AD a hard time. And then while Austin was giving his post game interview, AD was giving him a hard time from beyond the scrum, all the while LeBron is kind of laughing at all of it too. So like that trio really seems to have real chemistry, really seems to. And by the way, like, I don't know if you would have the level of success that they have late in games running those stack, you know, set pieces and all of the pick and roll stuff and the DHO stuff that those guys run. I don't think you would have that kind of those results if not for that great chemistry. And it just really kind of jumped off of the court, and it really, you know, really was hammered home when I was there in the locker room watching those guys interact. I also got the sense that, you know, when Gabe knocked down a big shot in San Antonio, the guys went nuts because they know how hard he's working defensively, even though he isn't knocking down his shots. And that's something that I think veteran players and players with winning in mind really seem to appreciate. And then when Gabe knocked down that shot late in the game, you know, the bench went nuts, and you know, something. And then further along those lines, JJ Redick actually started. Now he was asked a question about Max, which helps. But JJ did kind of wax poetic about Max, you know, staying patient and staying focused when he fell out of the rotation, and then jumping back into that rotation out of necessity and immediately having an impact. His shot has been more up and down, obviously, than we would maybe hope, which, you know, is obviously frustrating. But I look at the situation and kind of what the Lakers need of him. And, you know, I was really kind of impressed with JJ's response when he was asked about Max and how I think the way that it extended to how various guys have waited patiently if they fall out of the rotation or if they started the season not as, you know, not as big a part of the rotation as maybe they would have liked, or as guys maybe took a step back in that rotation with the roles that they're playing. And it was something that like AD talked about. I grabbed that clip here. It's on the YouTube page, but I'm going to go ahead and play it here as well. This was AD talking about, about that professionalism that's kind of become, I think, a foundational cornerstone of the Lakers locker room and the guys playing for the team.
You guys are 4-0 since D'Lo was moved to the bench. How important is it to have success when that kind of a change is implemented?
I mean, it's just about everyone trusting the process, accepting the roles. You know, D'Lo didn't have any, fight back. He's still coming out producing. So, obviously, very professional of him, professional of Cam. But it just speaks volumes of our unit, how we're, together, and no one cares about, if they're starting, if they're finishing games, coming off the bench, like whatever, as long as we just win.
And that winning matters, right? The winning that AD talked about there at the end really matters. I said it with Russell Westbrook. I've said it, with other teams around the league when they make these big moves to get a guy who is good enough to start on most teams. D'Lo, I would say he's a league average starter. Some nights he looks better than that. Some nights he looks worse than that. And I think you come out, in aggregate, and I would say that D'Lo is a league average starter, which means he should be starting on most teams. And, he's coming off of the bench, and JJ Redick moved him to the bench. And again, I saw some people in the comments, telling me that I'm kind of, propagandizing the move to the bench by saying that it isn't a demotion. I he has more responsibilities with that second unit than he does with the starting group. So yes, by definition, now that he isn't starting games and he doesn't really close too many games, his role on this team is less than it was last year, but it's still a critical role. The stuff that D'Angelo Russell is doing for this team is still really effing important. And the Lakers as a group, as a team, are significantly better, or have looked, I don't know about significantly, because of the teams that they've beaten. But the Lakers make a lot more sense, and their starting group and their bench unit is a lot more balanced now that D'Lo is down there with those running those second units. And you heard AD talk about how D'Lo didn't hang his head or mope or anything like that. I think I saw a little bit of moping from D'Lo initially. And I think occasionally there are going to be some frustrations that bubble to the surface there, which, by the way, is perfectly fine by me. That just indicates that D'Lo is competitive enough to want a bigger role on this team, cares enough about the Lakers to want a bigger role on this team. I'm fine with the occasional eye roll, when he walks off of the court, when he feels like he has it going, or I'm fine with the occasional, quick clip that shows him there on the bench, just kind of staring off, with that million mile stare. I'm fine with that stuff because at the end of the day, to me, the actions are what matter. Now, if we do start to see those frustrations seep into his focus level and his energy level on the court, well, then now we're having a very different discussion. But so far, I think he's executed that role very, very well. Lakers are 5-0 since he went there to the bench. And I don't know if AD quite answered the question that I was hoping or that I asked. I do think he gave important insight there, but that idea of being rewarded for good process allows you to stick with the process, right? Like if you, when Frank Vogel benched Russell Westbrook at the end of a game of a couple games there, you know, that was good process because Russell was killing the Lakers with his shot selection, with some bad turnovers, with those defensive lapses and stuff like that. He was hurting the Lakers. He was hurting the team. And to go from that then to, you know, you play in that game and you lose with that good process. The process doesn't matter as much to somebody like Russell Westbrook, who feels like he should always be on the court at the closing of games, who feels like he should always be starting, and to a locker room that, like, you know, he had a lot of cachet in, you know, that kind of stuff matters. And now the Lakers are being rewarded for good process. It's going to allow them to stick with that good process, and we'll see how long this thing moves forward. Now the Lakers do have, you look at their schedule here, Utah is a winnable game. Orlando is another winnable game. Orlando hasn't looked quite as good as I thought they would coming out of the gates. KCP hasn't been very good for them. Denver, Jokic has been in and out of the lineup recently, though I do believe he's supposed to be back by the time the Lakers play them a week from yesterday, next Saturday. So, I think you're looking at a team that I think is kind of starting to find that identity. They are starting to execute that system that JJ Redick has talked about a ton. And then at the ends of games, they look really effing good. So long as Austin, LeBron, and AD are on the court, the combinations around them hasn't mattered so much because those sets that they're running have been damn near unguardable. So really fun stuff there from the Lakers over the weekend. Really important stuff too from over the weekend, and it was great. It was really fun to be there to watch it all take place. Also, want to give a shout out to you guys. Like, you know, the response to me being, you know, there, boots on the floor, and the number of times that I hear, whether it's in mentions, and I even got it some like at the arena, you know, people saying that like they've been, you know, listening or watching my stuff for years. That stuff does matter to me. You know, that stuff, you know, is really cool. And I always appreciate your guys' support. I never take it for granted, and it makes me only want to keep getting better. So, you know, I'm negotiating with the boss, not necessarily with Clutch Points, but with Jen, about doing some travel when the Lakers come here to Texas for the rest of the season. So we'll see how those negotiations pan out. But the hope is for me to cover at least a few more games here whenever they come here to the state, and you know, maybe over the, you know, years to come, as my kids start getting older and they're a little bit more self-sufficient, maybe I'll be able to do more of that there moving forward, but, you know, outside of the state of Texas and stuff like that too. So, without any kind of further ado, let's, I want to talk about Dalton, Connect, who, and Max also, because I think it's very, the 2 points are very, relative, or they have a lot in common with each other. So the role that I think makes the most sense for Dalton and for Max is a nice, narrow, you shoot when you're open. You have a couple dribbles if you want them, you know, on the occasional possession, but your offense is mostly going to be created for you. And then on the defensive side, they're playing different roles there. Dalton is being hidden a lot more on the defensive side than Max is. So that's where the two roles differ. I do think that Max is, he needs to play more physically. Like, I think he's gotten a brutal whistle to the start of the season. I understand why he would be reluctant to be as physical as maybe he should be because of that brutal whistle. But he still needs to, like, there were a couple plays where he got pushed under the basket or moved under the basket, you know, on a box out, you know, there have been some screens that he dies on or some post-ups and stuff where he gets moved a little too easily. That stuff needs to improve. But I think like the two of them getting better almost at the same time tells me that, you know, the coaching staff kind of pulled him aside and said, guys, stop overthinking this. Like, this is what you're expected on offense, and this is what you're expected on defense. And those are like in their very similar roles. You guys can do them at the same time. You know, you just stand in opposite corners on offense. The occasional cuts from the both of you are going to look very similar on offense. The types of shots. Now, Dalton is going to have more stuff run for him, obviously, than Max. And that's where, if you really want to get into the weeds, where those roles are going to differ. But that idea of narrowing the focus for those two guys so that they can be better in those roles, better identify what's expected of them in those roles, and then better execute those roles when they're out there. That's why I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that both guys seem to look a lot better, and that improvement happened at roughly the same time. Now, what that means moving forward for the rotation is obviously really interesting. You know, Cam has kind of taken a back seat as Max has looked better and as Dalton has looked better. I think Max will kind of fall back into further down the rotation. I say Cam there, right? Cam will move further down the rotation now that Max and Dalton are executing those roles better. Gabe's spot, I do like what he provides defensively, but he does need to be a lot better offensively. So I do think that Dalton will get some of Gabe's minutes too. Now, I think Gabe will, like if Austin or D'Lo tweak something, that's when Gabe becomes more important because you need somebody to run the offense. So you can probably anticipate that potentially always being an option for Gabe. But I do think that like at this point, you look at Dalton's numbers and it is really impressive. You know, and this is for the season. Recently has been even better. But on the season, he's averaging 9 points a game. He's shooting 40% from 3-point range on 4.5 attempts per game. That number has gone up recently. We'll do the last five games here for Dalton. But you know, over the last five games, that number has jumped up. He's playing 25 minutes a game. He's averaging 13.5 points per game. He's shooting 50% from 3-point range on 5 attempts from three. Small sample size, obviously, but still, I think it's noteworthy. He's averaging about 3.5 rebounds a game, and he's been in terms of plus minus, he has been a plus 10 over that time. So, and that's per game on average. So really, you know, like coming into his own type stuff here from Dalton, who looks like an absolute, like I wouldn't be surprised. They do the rookie ladder every week. I think we're going to start seeing Dalton make his way up that rookie ladder. He has a lot of work to do to catch guys like Zach Edey and to catch guys like Risa Shea, who's been really good for Atlanta so far this season, and other guys, you know, a little higher. But it's early, and Dalton is really helping the Lakers win. I think that's the most impressive thing to me. I'm going to look at his advanced numbers here and his, you know, on-off stuff, and it's really impressive what we've seen from Dalton. Where, you know, normally rookies, like especially scoring forward rookies, their impact can be kind of overstated because the buckets are loud and some of the mistakes are quiet, but do hurt over time. But the Lakers are 6.5 points better per 100 possessions when he's on the court. And then they are, when he's off of the court, they're minus 5.3 points. They're 5.3 points worse than their opponent over the course of 100 possessions per game. And, you know, like to compare that to other guys on this roster, interestingly, D'Lo is actually, like, in terms of what the team looks like when he's off of the court, they're 12 points worse than, you know, when he's off of the court, than their opponents over 100 possessions, you know, per game. He is a plus 8.2 when he is on there. And again, like, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, like, he is really having his way with second units. And I think, you know, you combine getting to a playing style that makes more sense for him, and he's now thriving in those units. And, you know, just inherently, second units have less talent on the court defensively than starting groups do. And I think D'Lo has really done a lot in those minutes to, you know, handle those minutes and be as impactful as he's been. But for a rookie in Dalton Connect to have that kind of a swing, his on off swing like that is, you know, you basically add 6.5 and minus 5.5, which gets you to, you know, almost 11 point swings when he's, you know, his on off is almost 11 points. That's pretty impressive for a rookie so early in the season. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think the Lakers deserve a lot of credit for, you know, finding a role that makes the most sense for him, staying patient while he was missing makeable shots. And now that patience is paying its dividends. So shouts to Max and shouts to Dalton, who both look a lot more like the players that the Lakers were hoping for at the beginning of the season.